Masayoshi Shido sits at his desk in a high rise in the night. And to his right stands a bookshelf and a wine case filled with glasses and different wine varieties. Tungsten light fills the room and coats a cherrywood desk in front of open shades to his left. A large plant fills the frame. Shido stands tall and bald with a beautifully angular face, one that could cut the finest of silks, a goatee resting just on his chin. Orange-tinted, half-rimmed glasses sit below a frowned brow. Shido is intent on creating a new Japan. Unwavering loyalty is the name of the game with Shido, and anyone who opposes that is as good as dead. Social orders, new world orders, yes. You've heard this term for years, yes. You've also learned these lessons are in the media, right under your nose. We include the games. Shido was the drunk politician attempting to take advantage of a woman in an alleyway at the start of the story, who I saved. But Shido manipulated the victim and the court system so that I would be prosecuted and placed on probation. Sharing a likeness with Jeff Bezos or Ian Hawke from Alvin and the Chipmunks, Shido is a politician who desires to become prime minister and doing so in a much sinister way. The story comes to a head and more truths are revealed, but I have to admit, this part of the story got me emotionally. Welcome to Shido's Palace. What is up, my Phantom Thieves? Welcome back. What is up, my listeners? Welcome back to the Pain and Fools podcast. I am the Pain and Fool, and this space is for you. Welcome to the Gamer's Den. Welcome back. I am excited. Listen, it gets crazy. It gets really, really crazy. We just got to hop right into it. Because we got to go. All right. We left off at the point where we need to enter in get the five letters of introduction from the five vice presidents. It's going to be how we advance in the story, how we're going to get the treasure, et cetera, et cetera. All right. The first letter of, and I'm going to go down just each letter, and I'm not going to get into the missions and how we got there, but it is still important, but not as important. All right. The first letter of introduction we got, that was from a politician in a restaurant within the palace. It's like a restaurant at a certain point. The second letter is upstairs in another room where we turn to mice. We have to do these puzzles where we turn to mice and we go back from turning to mice into humans. And we have to like do a couple puzzles so that we're basically cutting through different like shortcuts and stuff to get to the next part of the, not treasure, but the next letter. And then we learn at this point that the first letter of introduction, the politician, he was responsible for the mental shutdowns inside the subway station in the beginning of the story. And then we learn that all the money Kaneshiro, Junior Kaneshiro, you know, the crime boss, the mob dude, you know, the drug dealer man that he was gathering, that was going to Shido. Madarame was also aiding Shido with his plagiarist ass. You know, we learn just little bits and pieces about how, and this, again, you can tell we're starting to tie everything together because I'm like, yo, I never knew this about Madarame and Kaneshiro. Like, what is this? We then cut over to Akechi's fake ass. He's being held in a TV interview and, you know, they're praising him, giving him all his credit. And the TV host is all like, something basically like, I would never imagine a leader would kill himself talking about me because, of course, that's what Akechi told the media, or that's what the police station told the media, whatever the case was. So then the host asked Akechi, he's like, Akechi, did you anticipate this turn of events? And then he's like, verbatim, he says, certainly not to this extent, but it is important to note he was the mastermind behind the recent commotion. Getting captured must have ruined his pride irreparably. Such things happen to insurgent leaders, and he's talking about me. And then he's like, according to the police, the whereabouts of the other members are still unknown, considering they no longer require testimony from the leader. The investigation will be hard to. And then Akechi, he's like, may I interrupt you for a second? The Phantom Thieves may have laid low since then, but they must not be excused. I don't care if they come after me. For the victims of their evil deeds and for families, I will capture the remaining Phantom Thieves no matter what. All right. The audience starts praising him, and he has this moment where he says that no one knows he was an undesirable child. Like, as he's getting this praise and all of these accolades, he just starts to go within, and there's like this self-dialogue happening. And he's beginning to reflect on his own shadow and his own problems and his own fears and insecurities. And that being one of them, he was an undesirable child. And I'm like, well, what does that mean, you know? He wanted people to rely on him, and he wanted to be needed. And he devoted himself to his studies and made his name as an ace detective and acted as an honor student so that he would be seen as special and important. Anyway, he snaps back to his moment in the interview, and then the hosts ask him a couple more questions, and then Akechi starts to just like drift off and thinks about a cell phone. Because a cell phone goes off in the interview in the audience. So it just kind of like jogs his memory. And he's like, a cell phone. Okay. Back to the next couple letters of introduction. We got the third one. We got the fourth one. The fourth one was an IT dude who confesses that he was responsible for the website that hacked into Medjet to throw off the Phantom Thieves. You know, that whole part. So he was accountable or responsible for that whole thing. Basically, he hacked through and misrepresented the Medjet so that it would get our attention. So he was responsible for that. And we beat him, and then whatever. So he was like, you know, I'm bet the Phantom Thieves enjoy their spotlight, you know, not even aware that this was all a setup. And then he says, this is the IT guy, he's like, the real harm comes in making use of the internet in innovative ways that circumvent legal restrictions. Isn't it wonderful manipulating all those information illiterate idiots? You know, of course, all this does for me, I've always known that a lot of these things happen behind the scenes. There is no doubt in my mind. Of course, just with having and learning through marketing and the media, that there are a lot of things that take place behind the scenes, and there's a lot of manipulation that takes place. Of course, you would have to know this. You should never take things for face value when it comes to what you see on the television screen, what's being shown to you by the media, even down to the pharmaceutical industry. Like, it's a business. Just know that. Just it is what it is. It is what it is. But, you know, these things are reminders as I'm watching this, as I'm playing this. I'm like, yeah, right. You're right. You know, anyway, we beat his ass. Right. And then he confesses that he extracted the results of Wakaba's research, Futaba's mom, and he deleted every piece of the original data, encrypted that, and placed it on a domain inaccessible to everyone. Interesting, right? We cut back to Akechi. And he's in the train station on a phone call, and he's talking to Shido. And he's like, you know, every media outlet is vouching for the inevitable Prime Minister Shido. The public loves you, too. Of course, Shido is trying to go for Prime Minister. He has a whole sinister ass agenda. And we, oh my God. Whew. Anyway, Shido was like, we've only made it this far thanks to you. Now then, I have a favor to ask. It's about the loyal customers of our mental shutdown business. How about you dispose of all the ones you think suspicious? And Akechi's like, right at this moment? But the election is coming up soon. And then he's like, yeah, right. Ashido, he's like, yeah, right. You know, the earlier the better. Akechi's like, well, why so sudden? Why so soon does something happen? And then Shido says, nothing in particular. But if something were to happen, it would already be too late. And Akechi says, well, I can understand why you might be nervous, but why not stay calm and hold off until after the election? And then he says, Shido, he says, I'd like to take out all the trash before my inauguration of prime minister of this nation for the sake of absolute victory. I need all roots of anxiety pulled immediately. Now, if you don't know, Ishido never presented, he never worried about anything because he was so, his grip on Japan is so tight that what reason would he have to fear anything? He's responsible for everyone. He's at the top of the pyramid. Everyone gives to him. What would he have anxiety, roots of anxiety for what? So Akechi's like, anxiety? You never mentioned such things before now. And then Shido's like, yo, do you understand what it means to cross me? Just do as I ask. I'll be counting on you. And he hung up. Akechi, I had no clue, was Shido's bitch all the way. You know, it's cool. But Akechi begins to get a little suspicious. He's like, could it be? And in my mind, I'm thinking he thinks he's putting pieces together. And he's like, okay, I think it's the Phantom Thieves, Mike, you know, inside his palace right now, causing a change of heart. Something's happening. So it's time for the last letter of introduction back in the palace, whatever. Now we learn that this guy is a Yakuza. He's a, within the clan, the Yakuza clan. We beat his ass, he leaves, and then we decide how we're going to send the calling card. Futaba decides that she's going to do it, okay? All right, now I got to prepare y'all for this. The only people who really got this are the other players. But this was a big, big deal that's coming up, all right? So I just had to get this out there. We're running back to get back to the real world. Not, you know, to send the calling card, right? Whew, here we go. Let me get adjusted for this one. Akechi's ass comes front flipping on the scene as we are heading out of the palace to send the calling card. And he's like, long time no see. I'm impressed that you managed to deceive me. It seems I underestimated your abilities. You truly are interesting. You're quiet, yet possessing the courage and determination to take action. Under certain circumstances, we could have been great rivals or perhaps friends. You don't allow yourself to be enslaved by such things as human relations or past selves, and so your heart is always free, the exact opposite of mine. To be honest, I'm envious. I wonder why we couldn't have met a few years earlier. Yeah, it does seem like Akechi regrets things. Pardon me for the email. It does seem like Akechi regrets things. And it's starting to make the protagonist or make me, you know, like get him a little bit more. Of course, it makes sense. Our confidants build and I, you know, level 9 confidants through the Justice Arcana. Okay, cool. So, this is where, y'all, let's brace yourselves, because this is the point where I literally lost my mind. Akechi doesn't care for the country or Shido. He says, all this is to make Masayoshi Shido, my father, acknowledge me. Then I'm going to exact revenge on him. I gotta walk away for a second. just replaying this, thinking about it. Woo! Yeah, all right, I'm back, I'm sorry. Yes, y'all, Shido is Akechi's father. The connection, the way that the writers did this, just tied everything together and just so tied everything together with the worst, the most, just tied it together with thorns as laces. Like, oh my God, so excellent. So Akechi, he continues, he's like, remember I said before how my mother had been in a relationship with some good-for-nothing man. Yeah, I'm his bastard child. My very existence is nothing but a scandal. My mother's life turned for the worst after she had me and died. He says, I was a cursed child for her too, and I resented him. But he was already a high-ranking official by then. A kid like me could do nothing. But that's when it happened. When I learned about the cognitive world, someone, be it God or demon, gave me a chance. I couldn't contain my laughter. He said, my targets were all doing the same damn thing in this eat or be eaten world. All I did was remove their evil from society. That's no different from the Phantom Thieves, and Shido is within my grasp. And we interfere by not dying or disappearing. I want to kill you, is what he said. Yo, at this point, I'm not talking to the players, but I mean, y'all obviously are listening to. At this point, all the distaste, all of the anger I had for him just dissipated. Like, just from a character point of view. Now, naturally, I do carry a lot of empathy. I am naturally more understanding to almost to a fault. But it just, I genuinely despise Akechi because of, and that's good, you know, when it comes to the story, if you get that emotionally invested in the story, it's like, yo, that's a good thing. But I hated his guts. And then it just faded away. I'm like, yo, this is insane. Just think. All of what he did, like, Akechi is extremely clever throughout the story. Like, I was extremely suspicious of him. But if you played or if you watched the animation, the way that Akechi just, he's so smart. Anyway, he was abandoned, essentially. Okay. He says, even the feeblest of existence can gain tremendous power once the chains on its heart are broken. And at this point, we learn that Akechi's persona is no longer Robin Hood. It looks like something else. And he has this different ability. He can make people go psychotic. It's his own persona's power. It's not like it's not like he has to necessarily kill their shadow. He can just make people go crazy. The ability to drive people crazy, that was born within his heart. That's a big deal. Like, to have this, okay, let's pretend. Let's liken the metaverse to the spirit world, okay? Imagine someone just that powerful to have access to a person's soul, to drive them to the point to separate themselves from their own soul. That's a big, big deal. That's a really big deal. Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. So he goes to explain his life. You know, he's like, I wasn't my own person. I was extremely particular about my life, my grades, my public image. So someone would want me around. You know, I'm an ace detective, a celebrity. And I'm just, I'm genuinely feeling bad for him. At this point, we're in battle now. We're fighting each other. And his Robin Hood persona disappeared, and then he turned into a different part of himself, like his this completely unhinged, released version of himself. And his persona is Loki now. Y'all know Loki, you know, the epitome of the trickster, the duality. I mean, even down to the way that his persona looks, it's white and black, and it has these. It's so amazing. Oh, now. I could gather demons and make them my persona, you know, but Akechi was the only one that could genuinely change his form, you know? Anyway, we had multiple fights with Akechi. His newer outfit, which was much darker, it was the outfit that we saw when that person killed Okumura in the Shadow World. This new outfit is just all cracked up and the mask was broken and he's badly bruised and he's like, I'm lucky, talking about me. He says, I'm lucky to be surrounded by teammates who acknowledge who I am. And once Shido confesses his crimes, we'll be the heroes. But as for Akechi, people will find out his past deductions were just a charade and his fame and his trust will vanish. He was turning people psychotic and solving the cases himself. He joined forces with Shido. Despite him doubting himself, Makoto just says, yo, you're still special. Like, your wit and your strength are out of this world. And we only beat you because we teamed up together. And she was envious of his natural abilities. And it was frustrating to see how much Sai trusted him. But, yo, Akechi was a bad, bad, he was bad. Like, bad. Really bad. And, like, bad in a good way. You know what I mean? Now, Haru doesn't forgive him at all, but she does. She's able to empathize and she gets it. She understands wanting to get back at all the adults who took from him. And Yusuke, you know, he just says, you know, you excelled at everything over us, yet that was the one thing you lacked. And Ryuji was trying to get Akechi to recruit. He was going to recruit him with us. He's like, yo, we're going to get the calling card ready. You coming with? And Akechi's like, yo, you're truly beyond my comprehension. You should get rid of me to avoid getting in the way. Like, I don't want to get in your way. It gets even worse. Another Akechi walks in. Like, it's okay. Shido's cognitive version of Akechi walks in. So remember, Shido knows all about this world. He knows everything about it. So you should know that he's created cognitive versions of the people in his life to further insulate him and protect him from being exposed. So he was able to create a cognitive Akechi. This cognitive Akechi walks in on the scene and pulls out a gun. He says, holding the gun at the real Akechi, he says, this just moves the plan up a little. He was going to get rid of you after the election anyway. But did you truly believe you'd be spared after all the murders you undertook? You were actually feeling good about having someone rely on you for once? Yo, Akechi's fate, the real Akechi's fate, his fate was sealed from the start. His fate was sealed from the very beginning. Listen. Yeah, nah. I just can't. So as they're having like this mini little duel, it's like the standoff, the real Akechi manages to shoot the cognitive version and then shoots a button like off to the side of us while we're in this area that pulls this, it puts a wall up between us. And the real Akechi and some minions formed at the same time. And we're separated now from the real Akechi and the cognitive one. So we're like, this gate comes up, blocks us from each other, and both Akechis are, one Akechi is the real one, he's weak. And then the other Akechi, the cognitive one, got the shot, you know, he has the bullet hole in him right now. But they're still like facing each other, like, oh, y'all. The music changed. Like, the music changed into this. It just got real crazy. And then he makes me promise, the real Akechi, he's like, yo, promise that you'll take Shido down in my stead. And the camera goes to show the cognitive and the real Akechi holding guns up to each other. They shoot each other and die. This is where we gotta stop, because just as I'm the player have all these emotions built up towards him, and then we get to this damn into this climax, then you die. I can't handle it. I really couldn't handle this. Like, a catchy story is, yeah, we got to cover Akechi on the TikTok. We got to cover Shido. Because it's deep. It's really, really deep. Guys, we're going to stop it here, and I will catch you back next Thursday as we continue on where I think we are at the true end of the game of Persona 5 Royal. I call it Royale. Oh, man, this part got me in my feels because we were getting to know Akechi on an emotional level, and then we lose him, and we see that his father was Shido. And then we learn all the different ties to this whole group and this new world order that Shido is trying to enact upon all of Japan, even down to just trying to, even just good enough to sway the whole public opinion by causing all these deaths and these illnesses and these just to cause the populace to rely on him. It really makes me think shit like this happens in real life. You already know I can't. Like, I'm already like a slick conspiracy theorist anyway. Like, I can't deal. But I will be back next Thursday with the rest. I know this one came out a little late, but I had to make some tweaks. But I will catch you next week, my listeners and my Phantom Thieves. Until next time, I'm out. Peace.